Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2007. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 408 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
I'm going to talk to you about aspect orientation for mashups, enterprise mashups. Aspects helps encapsulate cross-cutting concerns in one place. When you have your business logic, you want to deal with your business logic and you don't want to handle orthogonalities like logging or caching or message tracking. These are all totally orthogonal to the business problem you're trying to solve. So you don't need to be concerned about coding for these. So a nice way to do that is if your component vendor or your runtime could provide facilities where they take care of handling these cross-cutting concerns, and you as a developer only are concerned with developing your business logic, which is totally relevant to what business problem you are trying to solve, and somehow by code composition, these different aspects get automatically added on to your business solution. So these aspects can be applied at various points called joint points, and these aspects can be configured with advices based on what you configure on there. And there are really two different ways in which you can introduce these advices into your composite application. And these are the facade pattern, where you want to introduce or change the behavior of your application along the boundaries, or you probably want to, the other pattern is the aspect weaving pattern, where when you have a SOA fabric, you want to introduce these aspects within your composite application and create these aspect chains or advice chains which allow you to dynamically change the behavior of your composite application based on configuration that you provide during runtime. So an administrator can go in and change the behavior of the composite application probably because he realizes that some of these services need to handle a lot of messages, and probably he wants to add some caching in there. Probably there are like a lot of read-only services which are read-intensive, so you don't really need to do any lot of writes. So probably you introduce a cache in there dynamically, so you add a caching advice, or probably you need to slow down the system, and so you want to provide throttling advice. And now you want to apply all these on the fly. You don't want to build it into your application. If you build it into your application, you're hardwiring it. We don't want that. We want it to be configurable at runtime. So like I said, I mentioned there are two different patterns: the facade pattern, where it allows for code composition at the edges, and the aspect weaving pattern, which allows you to introduce these advices on the fly within your composite application. So let's talk about the facade pattern. The facade pattern allows you to change the behavior of your composite application by adding advices on the fly in front of your provisioning service. So let's assume I have a bunch of provisioning services and I want to change its behavior by adding a bunch of advices. Let's say it might be a caching advice or a throttling advice, or based on information I find in the message, I want to do content-based routing. Let's say I want to handle versioning. Message evolution is a big concern in a service-oriented application. You design for, at any point in time, your information model is going to change over time. And when your information model changes, you probably have done changes to your schema or your WSTL just because you want to handle your business problem at that instance in time. Now, XSDs allow you to change or evolve your XSD schema, but there are so many ways to do that, and a lot of people talk about multiple extensions that you can add and stuff like that. But really, if you want to be able to dynamically introduce these, as in handle evolution in a dynamic way, what you could do is you could introduce a message versioning advice in this facade, where based on if you have some version information available in your schema, you could probably dynamically say, okay, I want this XSLT advice applied to the message that is coming in, and based on the version information that is available in the schema, I want to route it to multiple different provisioning services. Probably I have a provisioning service which can handle version 1 of the message. I have another provisioning service that can probably handle version 2 of the message. So I could ideally introduce a facade in there, so which can route the message based on the version information that is available by applying some XSLT. I could expose the facade interface, the URL, through my UDDI registry or my EBXML registry. So when my customers want to interact with my service, it looks seamless to them, and based on the message that they send, it goes through this aspect chain or the advice chain and calls the appropriate provisioning service. The other pattern that we can talk about when you want to introduce aspect orientation into your composite applications dynamically is the aspect weaving pattern. In the aspect weaving pattern, like we saw in the facade pattern, what we did was we did code composition at the edges. What we did was we introduced these aspect chains on the fly before your provisioning service got invoked. So that just requires that I have my whistles and XSDs. I don't need to really change anything inside your composite application per se. I just work on the edges, and by providing facades, I allow you to call different provisioning services. The other pattern is the aspect weaving pattern. If you have an existing composite application at hand and you want to introduce aspect weaving into your SOA fabric, then what you could do is, within your an enterprise mashup is basically a combination of multiple different services, and each of them probably are implemented using different technologies, and you call that an enterprise mashup, and you put it up together in a composite application. Now, what I could do is, once I have built my composite application, I could allow someone to go in and introduce multiple different aspect chains between my services. So if I have a BPEL service exposed through, deployed on a BPEL service engine, and I probably have a XSLT service deployed on an XSLT service engine, what I could do is, once I have the composite application, I could take the composite application and then weave these aspects between these services that are available, and change the behavior of the composite application dynamically, and of course then deploy it. So we are talking about the OpenESB product, which is an open source product. We have a lot of partners which are contributing to it, and this is also a call to action. We want you to contribute if you would like to be involved in the OpenESB project. We want you to contribute to the code base too. So let me talk about. So we, for OpenESB, is based on the JSR 208 specification, JBI. So in JBI, JBI is basically a JSR for a message integration. So JBI has this concept of a in-memory normalized message router, which we call the JBI bus. There are different types of components, as in the component containers, basically, which are developed by vendors like us. And we create these component containers just like you have in Java EE. You have EJB containers and web containers. JBI allows you a plug-and-play of best of breed containers, which you can dynamically deploy on the fly. Vendors normally create these component containers for you, for the user to use, and allows them to install the best of breed containers on their deployments. So because JBI facilitates this provisioning, has this ability to deploy best of breed solutions using this NMR, JBI also has something called a meta container. So this meta container is the one that allows you to plug in these different component containers into this common normalized message router. And the way JBI works is through message exchange composition. So it's like modeling your data flow into your composite application using these Wistl 2.0 abstract message exchanges. And the way one way to introduce aspect orientation into a JBI environment is by extending the message exchange patterns, the Wistl message exchange patterns. Specifically, we are concerned about, this is for aspect weaving. For the facade, we are just introducing a facade in front of your provisioning service. But then if you want to bring in aspect orientation into your composite application and have aspect chains connecting different services within your composite application, then what you could do is you could extend the standard Wistl 2.0 abstract message exchange patterns and introduce something called a for request reply patterns, introduce a filter request reply, and for one-way patterns, introduce a filter one-way pattern. So the way you introduce a request reply pattern is the aspect per se is implemented as a service engine, and this service engine has this support where for any message that is coming in, it can interject that message and allows you to provide XSL transform to that message before sending it out to the provisioning service. And then when the response comes back from the provisioning service, once again apply a transformation and transform the message to how the consumer wants to see the message service. So you could introduce these transformations within the deployment in your aspect service engine, and you can transform the message in a request reply pattern. The one-way pattern is very similar to the request reply pattern. Here, what happens is when the message comes in, you can configure it to actually have a XSL transform on the incoming message. And so when the message comes in, you apply this transformation on the incoming message and send it out to the consuming service. So this is a screenshot of the facade pattern that we have. I'll show you a demo at the end of the session. We have a whole bunch of aspects. We have some implemented, and some of them are still in development. And if you guys want to contribute, you are welcome to join the open source OpenESP project and contribute to it. So let's talk about some of these aspects that we have, and I will also talk about some of the aspects we want to introduce in here, and probably you guys can contribute to that. So the first thing we will talk about is the caching aspect. The caching aspect in OpenESB supports a couple of patterns. One is the write-through cache. So when you get the message, you want to cache the whole message. You could cache the whole message and send it out send it out to the client. So what would happen is the caching aspect would work in a request reply message exchange pattern, where when a request comes in, it stores the key and then sends it out to the provider. Provider does its processing, sends back the message, and then when the message comes back, it associates the key and value in the cache and sends it out. So that's a write-through cache. So any subsequent requests to that same service, because that thing is cached, will just take it from the cache instead of calling the provisioning service. This is useful for read mostly type of operations where your data, there are not many writes, there are no writes in per se, and then it's basically for like product catalogs and stuff like that, which where the data does not really change much. So that's the write-through cache. Then we have the cache-aside pattern. In the cache-aside pattern, an administrator can go in and say, when a message comes in, I want to, based on this key, based on this XPath, I want to cache the values of these. So when the message comes in, it will apply based on the keys that the user provides, that the administrator has configured. When it calls the provisioning service and then the responds, it will take out the values from those XPaths and store it in the cache. Now, this allows other applications to use the cache, like it's like a dam, right? So when messages go in and then come out, we cache some stuff. So when you create your other composite applications, they can use the values available in the cache to do other processing. So that's the cache aspect. We will show you a demo of that later. The other is the throttling aspect or choking aspect, where if the administrator finds that there is too much load on the server, he probably wants to slow down the system. So he can introduce some throttling in the messages that flow through. So when a message comes in, he can say, I want it delayed by so many milliseconds. Or he can also say, based on the role of the user, I want to allow access or deny access. So once again, he can use the choking or the throttling aspect to configure that on the fly. The other is the auto reconnect or retry aspect. In a request reply scenario, sometimes your provider is down or something crashed on the other side. Supposing you have clients, let's say you are a provider of services. You don't want to, customer says, I want to buy this product. You don't say, I can't service you because my provisioning partner is down. You want to take as much as you can get. So what you do is you introduce this auto reconnect aspect in there, where when my consumer calls me and my provider is down, I can actually take the request and then I try to reconnect to the provider until he comes up and then service the transaction. So you can configure it for an amount of time or until the service provider comes back again. The other is the queuing aspect, where in a one-way message scenario, when the message comes in, once again, if the provider is down, what it does is it would write it to a database and return a done flag to the client. And it has some configuration, and then it will keep retrying until the provider comes up. And once the provider comes up, sends the message out. The other is the T aspect, where you want to dynamically listen to message exchanges that are flowing through from a consumer to a provider, and the administrator wants that same message to be routed to one or more other listeners that are available on the bus. So the administrator can go and configure a T wherein he says, this same message, this one-way message, is going to go to this provider, and it's also going to go to these other things that I have configured. And once again, the other thing is the content-based routing, where if I have a request reply scenario, then based on the content in the message, I want to route it to different providers. So I might have partners. Let's say I have my providers who are actually selling me stuff, and probably I have partner A who can service 30,000 parts. If it goes beyond 30,000 parts, from 30,000 to million, probably I have partner B. And if it goes more than a million parts, then I probably have to order it from partner C. So what I could do is I could go and specify these configurations in my UI, where I can say, based on the value that is available in the message, based on how many parts requested, I route it to one of these providers. So that's one example of where you could use the content-based routing aspect. And of course, the other thing is the logging aspect, where you log based on, you can set up logs, and probably it will help you when you want to. Oh, I just have 1 minute more. Okay. Ooh. Okay. Looks like I have to wind down. But I'll probably show you the list of aspects that we're talking about: caching, throttling, retry, logging, lease management, message filter, content filter, queuing, validator, splitter, aggregator, scatter gather, resequencer, chargeback, monitoring. See, there we have a whole bunch of aspects. We also want you to contribute to this. It's an open source project. It's a call for action. You can all join the open source OpenESB project and contribute. Not all of these aspects have been done. We are still developing a whole bunch of them, so we need people to contribute. Unfortunately, I just got a reminder that I just have 1 minute. I wanted to show you a demo, but looks like that's not possible. So if you have any questions. If any one of you want to see a demo, you could probably see it where? In the pod? Okay, yeah, we can probably have it somewhere there if you guys want to see a demo of this.
Are we done? Okay. Thank you. Who am I talking? Thank you, Gopalan. Thank you very much. That was Aspect Orientation for Mashups using OpenESB. Coming at 4 o'clock will be OpenID at Work. That is, what's happening with OpenID at Sun. We'll see you then.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Check out more mini talks from Java 1 2007 at today.java.net/pub/ct/Java 1 Community Corner, or subscribe to our feed with iTunes.